the screens as we call for the Spirit to come upon us this morning. Pray. God, your mighty presence is everywhere. Meet us here as we gather. Look into our hearts and our minds as you search us and restore us. Surely your presence is among us. We long to meet you here this morning. Amen. Will you join as we now continue to enter into worship by singing, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore.
Seek others. I would invite you to be seated, and as you're being seated, I would invite our children forward. Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Anybody know what this is?
A lamp.
A lamp? Yeah, I thought it was a little dark in here this morning, so I should bring a lamp. What do you think? That's bright enough, isn't it? Yeah. So this is a lamp. A lamp, you turn on a lamp and it helps to make light. Is that right? What is this?
Cord.
That's the cord. What's the cord for?
Plugging in.
You plug it in. Yep. You plug it into the wall, and then the electricity can go from the wall to the lamp, so the lamp can make light.
Yeah. And then there's a switch inside to turn it on.
That's right. Our Bible reading today is talking about the same type thing, except Jesus is talking about a tree or a vine, like a big, strong center piece, and the branches plug into the vine. So we're like the branch that plugs into the vine. We're like the cord that goes to the lamp, so that we can plug into Jesus. I'm not saying that very well. We have to plug into God so that we can shine our light on the world around us. And when we plug into God, we can help other people meet God, learn about God, and we can grow in our own faith. How do we plug in to God?
Praying
is one of the ways that we plug in. We read our Bibles. We help one another and serve one another. Today we're going to do something that helps us plug into God. Do you know what it's called when we use this? When everybody comes up and they get the bread and the juice? That's communion. That's one of the ways that we plug into God. Yeah. So that's one of the things. Think about that as you go into the day and the week ahead. What do I need to do to plug into God? So that communion is one of the ways you can do it. So that I know that God loves me, and so I can share God's love with anyone who meets me. Can we pray? Well, God, we come this morning, we come to worship you. We come to plug into you and pray that you would meet us here. Touch us, dear God, so that we can grow in our love of you, so we can grow in our love of the people around us. We're thankful for your life-saving work through Jesus Christ. Just help us to draw on this strength and love so that we can shine into the world all around us. And we pray in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for coming up this morning. And as was shared, one of the ways that we do stay plugged in to God or get re-energized is through our life of prayer. And so I would invite you into a time of corporate prayer together. Let's pray. Well, God of power and wisdom, God of the heat and the rain, we're thankful for this time to come, for this time set apart and to do nothing other than to worship you. In our nation and in our world, we see the celebrations and the miracles. And at the same time, we see and we experience the pain and the uncertainty. We're mindful that in the midst of it all, you have called us by name. You've called us to make a difference in the world. You walk with us through the joys, through the uncertainties, through the fires and the floods. You remind us that you have a higher purpose for us, dear God. We're reminded that the more that we plug into you, the more that we become aware of this purpose, the more we plug into you, the more we're aware of how you call us to live here and now and in the days and the years to come. God, we come this morning confessing that there is so much to visit with you about in prayer. We have praises and concerns, we have thanksgivings, we have suffering. And so we pray that you would meet us here. Here and now we have so much to visit with you about, and so we continue to pray together as one body, as Jesus taught his first disciples to pray together, so now we pray together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would invite you to stand as we sing together, you know, just as I am, we come. So let's stand and sing. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Karen Workman, and I was one of eight people of McCabe who served as a delegate at this year's Dakota's United Methodist Annual Conference held in Sioux Falls in June. More than 600 clergy and laity from our churches in North and South Dakota attended this joyful 3-day event. And I was amazed to learn There are 245 churches and 36,577 United Methodists in North and South Dakota. Yeah, woohoo. And then our conference is one in six United Methodist Church conferences in the whole United States that is growing. In your bulletin this morning, there's an insert and there's a section on it called Journey from Toward Vitality. And I'd like to lift up three items from that section that we learned at annual conference. In 2017, this is conference-wide now, weekly average attendance in Sunday school or other weekly education classes increased by 17%. Indeed, our new Awana program at McCabe contributed to the increase, and because of your generous giving earlier this spring, McCabe registered 22 children, youth, and adults for United Methodist Dakota summer camps. Do I hear an amen? Amen. In 2017, conference-wide, people served by our community ministries of outreach, justice, and mercy increased 11% to 193,944 individuals served. Included in this number are the hundreds of people who were served by McCabe's volunteers at the banquet. McCabe serves the banquet not only once a year, but twice. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
And then our Dakotas Conference is currently engaged in 18 church plants and multiplication projects. And a fine example is right here at McCabe, the Celebrate Recovery Program led by our laity leader, Chris Chase. Amen. You know, at annual conference, the bishop always has a miracle offering, and all the churches are invited to participate in that. And this year, the offering at the end of annual conference was standing at $43,000, of which McCabe contributed $1,300. Amen. It was a privilege to serve as one of McCabe's annual conference delegates.
Matters. Your ministry matters. Your local church matters.
Some peanuts and bread.
difference matters. The United Methodist Church matters.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father.
Greetings, my name is Gloria Canol, and I was inspired by annual conference this year, especially inspired by our guest teacher, and you just saw several clips of him, Reverend Olu Brown, who told us that our lives matter, our church matters, our ministry matters, and he didn't let us forget it. He is the pastor at Impact Church in Atlanta, Georgia. With him, we explored the importance of staying connected to the vine so that we can be inspired to transform the world. We must be committed to following Jesus and to keep his teachings as we are called to spread his light. One important aspect of staying connected to Jesus, the vine, is that our own vines regularly need pruning, just like the grapevine. We must find areas of our life that need to be pruned in order to remain strong and fruitful. So it is true for our churches as well as individuals who regularly need to be pruned. This may feel like a painful process, but like the grapevine, positive growth happens only with mindful pruning. Streamlined, the church, our church, will emerge stronger in its work for the kingdom of God. We are called to stay connected to the vine and to spread his light to the world.
In our missional report, our journey toward vitality is a strategic roadmap that outlines the pathways we're taking to accomplish our mission. As a conference, we're working to increase the capacity of the conference, districts, and churches by developing missional leaders, equipping missional congregations, extending missional impact, and generating missional resources. We are turning into a culture of multiplication. Multiply programs are developing a mindset and practices that lead to reaching new people. The Multiply Leader program has reached 32 leaders in 25 churches. And one of the key ways that Dakota's Conference reaches new people is by planting new churches. Being called as a church planter from McCabe and starting Salisbury Recovery, I can't help but be filled with joy, not only for the church, but for what God is really doing in our community. We are part of the journey toward vitality, and it's because of your prayers and support that not only do we have a Salisbury Recovery here, but we're starting one in a month in a different location. We are part of the conference's journey toward vitality.
Good morning, my name is Lois, and I feel that God was
strategically involved in this group of people going down to annual conference. We knew each other, but we went to annual conference one by one, two by two, and when we gathered down there, we had a table for McCabe right in the middle of the room of this big convention center. And we were right in the line of fire, you could say, from Bishop O, who gave us many messages about the work that we are to continue to do out here in our churches. One of the significant things that we did is we were asked to bring the names of young people that, and some going to be almost children, bring those names down and present them in a worship service. And after those names had been presented, they were put up on a vine on the altar. Very beautiful altar setting. And that was one of the, Bishop O has a way of finding how to give a message to people through worship. There were no protests, there was no problem, it was peaceful. It was a wonderful meeting, and I think that God truly brought our group together so that we can come back and work for the next year here at McCabe. We are committed to that. As I look out over the congregation this morning, I can see many, many people who have been called. Some of you may not know yet exactly what your calling is in this church. If you have not been here considerable time, talk to Pastor Mark, talk to anyone that is on our team, and we will help find a place for you to find your calling in this church. Only God knows what's in your heart about your call. You have to tell us what you are willing to do. I just am very optimistic about this, and I also want to tell you that next year you can all go to annual conference because it's going to be in Bismarck. You don't have to be a delegate to annual conference. You can just walk in down there and partake in any part of it that you want to partake in. That's a really good thing. Bless all of you, and thank you for sending me to annual conference.
Good morning, church. My name is Pat Fisher. Reverend Olin Brown, founder of Impact Church in Atlanta, Georgia, strongly believes in an active church, one that makes a meaningful impact in the lives of individuals and communities. One of the ways this is accomplished is by catalyst evangelism. And what is catalytic evangelism? A catalyst is a person or thing that precipitates an event or change. Evangelism is teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in an effort to persuade others to accept him as Lord and Savior. If we put the two together, we have catalyst evangelism, one who goes before to create an opportunity to connect people to Jesus Christ. This says we don't wait for people to come to us. We go to them at the mall, at the ballpark, at the football field, in the golf course. We meet them in the byways and highways of life, just as Jesus did, out there. Reverend Brown says we must be consistent in taking our evangelistic efforts to the world outside. We must continue to do the good work God has called us to do so we can continue to reach new people. We as United Methodists are called to make disciples of the world. This is a time to be excited about the opportunities to reach new people. Finally, Reverend Brown says that ministry is one of the hardest things we will ever do. But Jesus says, go to reach the world for him. I am called, we are called, and you are called.
I'm Marin, and I attended annual conference as a voting delegate for the Conference Council on Youth Ministries. As a CCYM group, we are an important part of the conference because we represent all of the youth of North and South Dakota with our votes, and we pave our way to the future of the church. As a CCYMer, I am called to servant leadership in a variety of ways as a branch on the vine. I help to plan and organize 3 events for middle and high schoolers each year. I also plan worship services, reach out to pastors and youth leaders across the Dakotas, and make connections with youth across the Dakotas to help them discover and deepen their faith for Christ, as well as my own along the way. Having youth involved in the church and the conference is extremely important to the present and future of our church, and I ask that you continue to raise up and support the United Methodist Youth.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I am a member of McCabe, and I was fortunate enough to attend annual conference also. I also am the mom of 4 kids who have grown up in this church, and so my calling and my nudge has been to help with our youth ministry in our church. We talked about the CCYM, and Marin has been a great part of that. So what does that mean for us? We're in a period of transition right now as our youth director has moved on, and we are starting a new way of doing youth group. Our new plan is being supported and funded by our conference, and so we're going to be a part of a group called Youth Ministry Architects, who's going to mentor us and teach us how to do youth group in a new way. This will be involved, we will have a group of 6 people who we call the youth cohort, who are going to be the active guiding influence for our youth ministries. But we also are going to have a large group of volunteers, which is where I'm hoping some of you will feel nudged and have some desire to be involved in some point. The third part of this new way of doing youth group is we do have a group of youth and young adults who I'm kind of referring to as our advisory group. We're seeking their input on what's working, what's not working, what they'd like to see more and less of, and how we can do better to foster our better leading our leaders of the future. We want to involve our youth and our other generations in community engagement. We want to do some mission work. We want to do more out in the community, is in addition to being in our youth room and connecting the group to itself. We have 70 youth in our church that we have on paper. I think there are more out there, but obviously we don't see them all the time, so that's what we really want to do, is encourage more people to come, more people to be involved, more people to actively be part of our service. Our goal is to build bridges between our community, ages 100 to 10, and even below. We want everybody to know each other and become a community of faith for the glory of Jesus and for the future of our church, McCabe. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
You know, it's I'm pretty uncomfortable this morning. Wearing a t-shirt. Sunday morning, I typically have a tie and a jacket on, right? But the God I know doesn't really always care about my comfort, and is willing to push me out of my comfort zone. And the other part of it is, this isn't about me. I mean, we are in this together, and we are a team. We have our black shirts on because we went down there called by God to continue to think about McCabe, about Christ living and serving through McCabe, and how we bring that into the world beyond us. But the challenge to us is, it's not just the 8 of us who were there. God has a call on every one of our lives, doesn't he? And it looks different for each of us. We hear John on the organ. John is called by God. We see Lois at the Welcome Center and pulling people forward. We see Linda cleaning and serving in the background. We see Sue helping to organize and serve at the back. There are so many ways. Every person in here is called by God. And that's where we come back to our scripture this morning, where Jesus is inviting us to plug into the vine, In that process, there might need to be some pruning that takes place. We might need to let go of some of our pride, some of our own hang-ups, some of the things that separate us from God, and replace them with doing things that help us to connect or reconnect to God, to grow deeper, go deeper in our faith. So we plug into God, we prune those areas that need pruning, and we come to connect with the call that God puts on our lives. We come to the rail this morning. One of the reasons we come to the rail is to plug in. We come to celebrate and give thanks. We come to seek forgiveness. Or maybe somebody has wronged us, so we come to seek healing. One of my favorite lines in communion that we use sometimes is talking about the mystery of our faith. If I told you I know exactly how it works when you come to the rail, I would be not telling the truth. But there is a mystery to our faith in the way that God works through Jesus Christ to heal us and to forgive us. That we come to celebrate and to let go. We see it across over the course of the Old Testament when people were turning towards God and turning away from God. People were plugging into God, and people were doing things that, well, sometimes needed to be pruned. When we move into the New Testament, we see through Jesus Christ what it looks like to truly love God, to truly love neighbor. We see what it looks like to live our lives sacrificially for one another, and ultimately for God's ultimate love for us through the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ. It was right before Jesus went to the cross. It was a Passover celebration. Jesus and his closest friends, along with thousands and thousands of other people, had gathered to celebrate the Passover feast. They were celebrating their freedom from the Egyptians. They were celebrating God's miraculous work. And so they gathered in this upper room to celebrate that Passover feast. And I imagine that they were probably looking and feeling kind of confused when Jesus got up from the table and he took the loaf and he blessed it. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to the disciples saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is my body. And it's broken for you." It wasn't until after the fact that the disciples started to connect those dots and it started to make sense. The body of Christ broken for you. And then when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He blessed it. He gave thanks to God and he said, "Drink from this, each of you. This is my blood of the new covenant." It's a new covenant. It's a new holy promise. We don't have to go through all the ritualistic sacrifice and things because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, right? It's a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink from this in remembrance of me. And so it is with, we come in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ. We come and we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. We come and we offer ourselves as holy and living sacrifices in union with the offering that Christ made for us. And we pray that God will pour out his Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. God, by your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, until we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. As we come to the table this morning, or to the rail this morning, we'll come down the center aisles. There will be servers serving the bread, the body of Christ, broken for you, down here. The regular bread, if gluten-free is appropriate for you, make sure that you get it from the blue tray. That's the gluten-free bread. But we come down offering ourselves in praise and thanksgiving in whatever ways are needed by you this morning to help you receive forgiveness, healing, hope, whatever it is. During this time of offering, we have the plates at the end of the pews. If you have a monetary offering, John and Don will be offering a musical offering. We come down and receive the bread, and we can spread out. You can kneel at the rail, you can stand at the rail, whatever is appropriate, and receive the cup, the blood of Christ poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. There will be people behind the rails this morning, and they will be praying for you specifically as you receive communion. If you would like them to pray for you individually, they're willing to do that, but just know that they're there praying for you regardless. If, for whatever reason, you would rather not come forward, or if physically it's a challenge and you would like to receive communion, just make sure that we know that in some way, let the ushers know, or and we'll make sure to bring communion to you. In the United Methodist Church, the Lord's table is open to anyone who would like to receive communion. It doesn't matter if this is your first Sunday ever in a church, or if you have been here every week. It doesn't matter. The Lord's table is open to you. No one is required to come, but all are welcome. Well, the table is open. Will you come as you're ready?
Sins and griefs to bear. just knows our every weakness. Make it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, your friends despise, forsake you, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a soul as
And let us pray. Most wonderful God, we give you thanks for the world that you've created. We give you thanks for the gift of life and for giving yourself to us in Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ's holy life, his suffering and death, his glorious resurrection, that we've been delivered from slavery to sin and death. We thank you that in the power of your Holy Spirit you have fed us in this holy sacrament. You have united us with Christ and you've given us a foretaste of your heavenly banquet. We are your children and yours is the glory now and forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would invite you to stand as we prepare to go into the rest of the day and the week ahead. And as we prepare to go, we continue to live into that plugging in, that pruning, and identifying that call that God has on each of our lives, to living into that call. So as you go, will you go in peace, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with each of you? Let's go in peace. Let's sing about, let's confess to God that here I am, Lord. Take me and use me. Let's let God use us, so we can go in peace and serve the Lord.
Stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall